Dear congregation, we have come in our study of the Lord's Prayer to the fourth petition. Last week, because of a miscommunication, we had a sermon on the next petition, and that doesn't hurt at all, but we're going to go back and deal with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer today. Give us this day our daily bread. And perhaps some of us tend to pass over this petition rather quickly. After all, daily bread seems to be such a simple thing. And in our privileged society, at least here in the West, for the most part, so very few of us are in danger of going without daily bread. In fact, most of us, if not all of us, have tomorrow's bread already in our cupboards and next month's bread in the bank. And no doubt many of us would be able to supply bread to this congregation and maybe others for months, if not years, if we had to. So really, does this fourth petition have anything to say to us? Aren't there other larger worries in our prosperous and complicated society? Well, what do you think? Shall we pass over this fourth petition and just move on since it doesn't seem to speak to us? Before we do so, let's think about where our so-called complicated and prosperous lifestyle has gotten us. Why is it that so many in our world are desperately trying to live more simply? Simplify, we're told. Isn't it so that many of us, even here in church, feel captive to the complexity of our world? So often we can be stressed out by the many scenarios that we feel we have to prepare for, and all the while we fail to live in the enjoyment of the present, the simple joys of every day. Well, as I've discovered in a small measure over the last weeks preparing for this message, this seemingly all too simple prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what I need. And I trust you as well. In fact, it's really a gateway. This fourth petition is into a world, a whole world into which the Lord Jesus Christ would bring His disciples, leading them, He at the head, a gateway into a better life. And that's what we want to see with the Lord's help this morning as we turn to our text, which you can find in Matthew 6, back a few verses from where we read in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And we want to examine that also with the help and the light that the Catechism sheds on it. It explains it in Lord's Day 50. In Lord's Day 50, in the back of your Psalter, question and answer 125. Lord's Day 50, in the back of your Psalter, where we read this question, which is the fourth petition? And the answer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us with Thy blessing, without Thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Well, our theme with the Lord's help is a gateway to a better life. And we'll see seven lessons as we go along this morning. 7 points or lessons. A gateway into a better life. Well, we've been studying the perfect prayer that Christ taught His disciples. Have you been learning to pray? We saw the preface to this prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and then three petitions which bring before us such great and lofty themes as God's name, hallowed be thy name. God's kingdom, thy kingdom come. And God's will, thy will be done. This is how true prayer really starts, with magnifying God. It begins with God. Three petitions of concerning God before we ever get to anything regarding ourselves. But then when Christ moves to the three petitions that concern us and our needs, he begins with this fourth petition, the petition of daily life. The next one will be concerning our sin. We covered that last week, but in the order of the Lord's Prayer, it's the next one. And then finally, temptations and evil. It's stunning, really, when you think about it, that the Lord Jesus Christ begins with daily bread. How can it be that that smallish need needs to be brought before the Lord? The Lord whose name is glorious, whose kingdom is far extending, and whose will is perfect. Daily bread. And this brings us really to the first lesson we want to see this morning under A Gateway to a Better Life. And it is that the better life is a dependent life. The better life is a dependent life. We cherish, especially in this country, our independence. And people live in a day of independence and entitlement. That's how we think about ourselves. But this fourth petition is really so very different. It's a petition that breathes the air of deep dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. What this means is that there's nothing too little to ask God for. God is a God who can be asked concerning His kingdom in heaven and on earth, covering this whole globe. But that same God can be sought for our next meal. The God who unfolds the course of history is the same God who puts that half slice of bread on the high chair of your 1 year old at your table. Sometimes we think that the things that happen in our lives, those so-called small things, that God really doesn't have any concern about those. They're too small to bring before the Lord. And so we keep them in our minds and we fret about them and they weigh us down, and we think, well, God doesn't look at this and care about that. Until perhaps you've had this, one of your children, a 3 or 4 year old child, scrapes him or herself on the sidewalk and comes in crying, and there you are trying to console them, and then they look up you and say, can we pray that God would heal this? You think to yourself, that's what I need. The childlike faith that looks to God for the smallest of needs and of concerns. And so we not only may pray for our daily bread, but we should pray for our food and drink and for everything that goes into that. In our modern era, we take so much for granted. But what if there wouldn't be that exact proportion of sun and rain to facilitate a harvest? What if the farmers would not harvest the crops or not be able to because of war or something else? Into this prayer for our daily bread go so many unseen little things that God is superintending and controlling each and every day. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, in a certain sense, we're even praying implicitly for an appetite to partake of the food that God gives us. You know, people who have gone through cancer treatments or surgeries, They realize that an appetite can go, and if you don't have an appetite, it's hard to enjoy food and even eat food. And so something as little as an appetite for food is something we can bring to the Lord. Lord, give me an appetite and bless me with food to fill my appetite. Nowadays you hear a lot about food allergies as well. The littlest things, smallest ingredients can cause allergic reactions that sometimes can even cause death. And so nothing, the Lord is saying here, is too small. Nothing is too small to bring before the Lord. Lord, keep my child today. He or she would not have an allergy attack. This too is included in the fourth petition. What a glorious God is held up before us by the Lord Jesus Christ here. God who holds the heavens and earth, the planets and everything in His hand. But who also knows the number of hairs on your head. Who knows how the next meal is going to come to you and how it's going to give you strength. And He's concerned about that. The same God whose kingdom is coming is also bringing you Himself, your next meal. The same God who forgives your and my sin, He can help us with the job that we need to find. The course in providence that will direct us to the place where we need to be to serve Him. We can pray for Him. We should pray to Him for that. And the same God who delivers us from evil. It's the same God who can make all things work together in daily life for our good. No wonder the Catechism says He is the only fountain of all good. Are you starting to see how this fourth petition really contains a whole world all by itself of a good-doing God who's concerned with the great, yes, but He's concerned with the small as well? Well, a dependent life, that's the first lesson here. The second lesson is a humble life. And this is connected to our first point, but I think there's more here that we need to see. A humble life. Notice the word here, give. Give us this day our daily bread. The person praying this prayer is a person who's learned he can't take care of his own needs. He needs God to give him what he can't give himself. And so humbly he comes to the throne of God and he says, Lord, give. Heavenly Father, give. Give us this day our daily bread. Even the next meal is a gift from God. There once was someone who visited an elementary school class and asked the students, who gave you your lunch? Your bread and your lunch. And most of the kids raised their hand and said, well, my mother did. And then when this person paused for a moment, a smart child said, well, actually, the baker did. And after another pause, someone said, well, actually, the farmer did. And only after a few prompting pauses, all of the minds of the children went to the one who really did give them their bread. It was God as the source of their daily bread. Give, O Lord. Give. You know, when you pray that prayer in truth, you realize that you don't deserve even your next meal. You've not earned it. Yes, you may have worked for it, but you haven't earned it, spiritually speaking. It's given to you freely by a good-doing Creator. Really, when we took of the fruit in the Garden of Eden in Adam, we took it. Notice that. Notice the difference between give us this day our daily bread and what Adam and Eve did, especially Adam when he took that fruit, he reached out and he took that of which God had said, you shall not eat of it. He sinned, and ever since then we've had that nature, haven't, don't we, of taking and earning and making our own way and not, Lord, give us in thy time and in thy way of thy gifts. And really, when we sinned, we lost. We signed away, you could say, in that moment of our sin, we signed away our rights to any of the Lord's gifts. We said, as it were, the devil, just metaphorically speaking, he gave us a paper and he said, when you sin, you're going to be mine. And you're waiving the right to every gift from your heavenly Creator. And we signed it with our own hand. Because God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so we deserve not bread, not food, not drink. We deserve scorching drought and drenching floods and withered crops. We don't deserve the bountiful harvests and the rich supplies that God has given us these centuries down. Think of that. In God's favor and in His kindness, He still had harvest upon harvest in most instances throughout our history. In a few weeks, as a nation, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving once again, the Lord willing. When we do so, let's be mindful of the fact that we don't deserve any of these blessings. We've sinned them away. Perhaps you say, well, I've had to work hard for these things, and I have to work hard to earn a living. And indeed we do, and the Catechism recognizes that. The Catechism says so honestly here that life involves care and industry. It's realistic. We're not just to sit back and look for handouts from the government, or just pray a prayer and look for God to drop things into our lap. No, we are to work as God enables us to do, the calling that He has given to us. He who will not work shall not eat, the Bible says. But even though we labor hard, it's the Lord who is giving us everything in the process. The food, the energy, the means, the culture, the situation, all those things that allow us to have these blessings. And it's as if the Lord Jesus Christ, as He's teaching us here to pray, I picture it this way. He pauses when He says, give. He wants to stress with us, certainly this morning, that this is all sheer gift. Daily bread, when you hold it in your hand, when you gather with your family around the Thanksgiving table, these are gifts out of the Creator's hands. The one who comes to us in the Scripture as the Father of lights, the giver of only perfect gifts. Lord, we owe Thee so much. Lord, I've taken it for granted so long. I eat my food without thinking of Thee. I don't think of what I owe to Thee, my mercy, my kindness. Like the Israelites, I murmur and complain. I owe Thee my all. Well, the better life is a dependent life, and it's a humble life. But thirdly, it's a connected life. A connected life. Notice how we see here in this fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Us. Christ is teaching us here to pray in the plural. It's not give me my daily bread. But what Christ is doing here is He's making clear that the children of God are part of the people of God, of a community of faith that spans the world. Indeed, when God saves us, we're saved personally. It's a personal matter, an imputation of righteousness, whereby we are in a right standing before God. And this doesn't happen as a congregation or as a family. This happens very personally, by faith in God and in the gospel. But still, when we are saved, we are joined together with the whole community of faith. We belong together and we share each other's needs and burdens. And in prayer, that should be part of our prayer. We think of those people, those children of God, and really, in a certain sense, all creatures who don't have what we have. It's as if Christ Himself is teaching us, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. And you pause and you think not only in what is in front of you or needs to come in front of you, but you think of the whole household of faith, our daily bread. Spurgeon says here that Christ is teaching us the unselfishness and sympathy that belongs to the Christian life. We bring these things before God, but how can you bring them before God without also thinking of our own duty with respect to other people? You see, God has a heart for His whole family on the earth. And He uses members of His family to provide for other members of His family. At least that's often what He does. Indeed, Elijah was fed by the ravens by the brook. But once the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing the food, then Elijah was sent to the widow in Zarephath in order that together they would enjoy their daily bread. We live in a culture in which food is often consumed just by ourselves in the car on the run. And we're thankful for means that allow us to do those sorts of things. But I think all of us sense that those meals that are really satisfying are enjoyed together, aren't they? With friends and with family and with people whom God brings on your path. Especially widows and widowers can relate to the fact that when God takes a dear one out of their life, that the meal, everything changes, but meals are never the same, eaten alone. The companionship that's enjoyed when partaking of a meal is sometimes the best part of the meal. It feeds your soul and your life as the food does your body. And God is concerned about the corporate body of the church. In Psalm 68, from which we're going to sing a little later, He says that He sets the widows in families. That's God's design and desire. That those who, through providence, are alone, strangers as well, that we need to have an openness to them and invite them in and partake of God's bountiful gifts together with them. I think most of us in our culture have the custom on Thanksgiving Day to think of people who may not have a home or may not have a meal to partake of with family and friends, and so we invite them. And that's a very good custom, and this should spill over into our daily lives. Give us this day our daily bread. You know the happiest people of God, you know who they are? They're the people who have a lot of room in their hearts for the others of the us in the fourth petition. And they have that overflowing fountain of good, which God Himself is. They have something of that themselves. God is making them after His own image. Give us this day our daily bread. The better life is a connected life. The better life, fourthly, is a devotional life. I was struck, probably most of all, as I labored on this, on the point that Jesus says here, give us this day our daily bread. And what this implies is that Jesus here isn't saying pray every day, but He's assuming that we will pray to our Father every day. Give us this day, today, as I'm at Thy throne of grace, praying to Thee, give me this day my daily bread, or our daily bread, as I just said. What that means is that Christ isn't saying, just give us bread. Nor is He saying, give us this week our weekly bread, or this year our yearly bread. He wants to see our face every day. And He wants to hear this petition from us every day in a certain sense. I think we can relate to this on a human level. Imagine you had a child who came to you one day and said, listen, Mom and Dad, I want a month's supply of food. I want to take it to my room. I want a fridge there. And I'll see you next month. I think all of us would understand that that's a bad sign, isn't it? This child isn't desiring a relationship, isn't desiring fellowship. They want it so easy that it's all packed away and they don't have to see you. They don't have to ask for things anymore. It's all there, shelved away, ready for them. And of course, what we want with our children is a daily relationship, don't we? Which there's contact every day when we're living together, certainly, and even beyond that in different ways. It changes, I realize that, but the Heavenly Father looks at it the same way. It's simply assumed that you'll come to the throne of grace daily. Give us today our daily bread. Charles Spurgeon says that many people are content to be like the high priest of the Old Testament, who only went into the Holy of Holies once a year. When instead of that, God wants us to visit His throne daily. In fact, He wants us to live in His presence, at His throne, feeding at His table, which He has set for us every day. The Lord gave a picture of this to the children of Israel when they journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land. Children, you know the story of how they woke up one day and the Lord had promised that He would feed them. And there they were, and outside their tents, doors, there was something on the ground. And they had never seen it before, and they took it up, and they collected it, and they tasted it, and it was wonderful. God had rained down manna for them. What is this, they said? Manna, what is this? What is this that God has provided? There was this astonishment, this amazement, this wonder. What is this? And God gave lessons to the people in that. He told them to gather just enough for that day. Not more, not for the whole week. Not to hoard that, because it would spoil and smell if they tried to do that. And only on the day before the Sabbath were they to gather twice as much in order to have sufficient on the Sabbath. The Lord wanted to remind them that on the Sabbath there's no need for work, but there's the resting in God and worshiping of His name. Do we wonder why sometimes the things that we hoard start to spoil and smell and we get this distaste with them? Unclutter is the mantra of our day. The more we hoard, the more it complicates things, and really our lives spoil as a result. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants to see us every day. He wants us to depend on Him every day. And we need His blessing every day. That's one of the reasons why we come to Him, not just for the gifts, but for the blessing upon the gifts. That's why we ask for a blessing on our food and drink. Maybe you wonder, children, why we pray before meals, most often at least. We do so in order that God would bless the food. What's the food going to do to you if it doesn't receive God's blessing? And that's what the Catechism says too. Neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. One of the reasons we pray God for our daily bread, and we pray it daily, is that God would daily bless us with blessings. Not just means, not just food and drink, but that He would bless those so that they would be a blessing in our lives and make us a blessing to others. You know what a blessing is? A blessing is the favor of God, the smile of God that enables you to walk in His presence free with joy in His love. Lord, let me partake of this food and drink and all thy blessings that come to me under thy smile, under an open heaven. Not just food, but thy smile upon my life. Do you need God's blessing in your life? Do you realize that apart from His blessing, even the gifts that you do receive will ultimately testify against you, lead to a curse really in your life? Without the Lord's blessing, Lord, bless me with this blessing from thy right hand. Well, friends, has the Lord seen you today already at the throne of grace? Do you have a daily walk with God? Not just for bread, but for blessing, for God's favor, for His pardon, for His presence. You know, this better life of which we're talking is a devotional life. It's a walking with God day by day. The fifth lesson here about this better life is that it's a trustful life. The better life is a trustful life. There's something else here in this. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what we're saying is, Lord, give me just enough for today so that I will trust Thee for the next day. And this is what the context of Matthew 6, which we read together, talks about. When we're praying for daily bread, we're praying for God to give us a quiet spirit of trust that He will meet our needs tomorrow and the next day and the next month and the next year. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not to take tomorrow's anxieties into today and allow them, as they often do, to rob us of today's joy. Instead, like little children who go to bed at night knowing that in the morning their parents will be there and take care of them and that they've thought of breakfast and lunch and dinner, so too the children of God should be able to sleep peacefully, knowing that tomorrow is a day, once again, of the Lord's favor and blessings, in which He'll provide as He sees fit. And that's why He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't excessively bring tomorrow's anxieties into your life today, because that's what the Gentiles do. That's what people do who have no God, who have at least no Heavenly Father to depend on. Don't live like that. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. God has given you today just enough good and just enough, listen to this, evil. Maybe that astounds you to think of it that way. Well, that's what Jesus says here. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. God gives His children what Samuel Rutherford called the checkerboard of faith, where you have the dark places and the white places, and they're all right after each other, just enough to keep us looking up to the Lord. Just enough prosperity and just enough adversity in every day to drive us to depend on the Lord. There's a hymn that some of us will know well, written by Carolina Sandell Berg, a woman who wrote these words. Listen to this. This summarizes it exactly. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. This is exactly what Christ is speaking of in Matthew chapter 6. That good and evil that He brings into our life every day, exactly in the right proportion for His children. Sometimes we think not enough good and too much evil, but Jesus says sufficient is the evil for today. It's never too much for the child of God. And this hymn writer goes on and actually expresses that as she went through a lot, one of the things that really shaped her was that at age 26, she had to watch her father drown. I don't know the exact circumstances, but she reflects on this and other things when she says, help me then in every tribulation so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the better life. This is the trustful life. This is the quiet, contented life that looks to God in everything. But sixthly, the better life is also a life lived close to eternity. You know, as we say here, give us this day our daily bread. It reminds us of something, doesn't it? It reminds us of the Bible's teaching about today. And that you and I really don't have anything beyond today that we can count on rightly. None of us have any assurance of tomorrow. And so the Lord has ordained it, that we would live day by day with each passing moment in such a way that if today is your last, that you're ready. We need to live that way because life is uncertain. Many people have started a day and not ended it. At least not the way they thought. And that's why you and I have to live every day as if it could be our very last. And that's why I can't put off making things right with my son or my daughter when I've done things wrong. And that's why you can't wait another day to make up with your husband or your wife. Because we don't know whether you'll have that opportunity. And that wayward brother or son or daughter, we don't know if we'll have another opportunity to say to them, you need to seek God. You don't know what a day can bring forth. Friends, I don't know if I'll ever speak to you again. We're all here this morning. It haunts you sometimes to think, you know, who's here for the last time? Who'll never hear the overtures of the gospel again? The Bible always emphasizes today, while you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Friend, whoever you are, if you can pray, give us today our daily bread, God wants to hear that prayer. Shouldn't your prayer be today, O Lord, give me today whatever I need, whatever I lack, even spiritual things that I can't live and I certainly can't die without? Today, friends, while you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. The devil's favorite word is tomorrow. When I have a more convenient time. But not so the Lord. His grace is sufficient day by day. And so the better life is lived close to eternity. And lastly, seventhly, the better life is lived best, lived close to the cross of Christ. I don't know about you, but I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, live in the present. I don't know all that goes into that thinking. It's true in a way, right, that we need to live day by day and every day, as I've just been saying. But how about this? Isn't this better? Live in His presence. That's what the fourth petition is ultimately all about. There Jesus Christ goes before His church and people and He says, this is how you should pray. This is how you should meet every day in My Father's presence. And the one who's speaking these words to us is the one who did that perfectly. Whenever toil and trials and afflictions came His way, there was that constant look upward. When the joys of life filled Him as they do us as well, there was that look of thankfulness upward. Give us this day our daily bread is ultimately His prayer, isn't it? We pray it through Him and through His Spirit. And think of this yet, that He went to that place in Calvary where He hungered and He thirsted, where He lacked, where He suffered that curse that you and I deserve. He did it also willingly. He did it in order that we might pray and have this prayer answered. Give us this day our daily bread. The true child of God, he learns it, at least in a measure, and more, that the bread he's holding in his hand has been purchased by saving Christ on Calvary. That's how it is. He who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gives us our daily bread from out of Calvary, from out of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we've seen the gateway to a better life. But the question this morning is, have you gone through this gateway into this better life? You know, it's one thing to see it from the outside and this morning to be forced and constrained to kind of look at it. And you look through it and you see this other world. Yeah, it's nice, you think, but there's my work. There's my life. There's my bank account. There's all those things. And you pass by this fourth petition and you pass by this gateway into a better life, a Calvary life. Friend, if you're here today and you're like that prodigal son, and instead of saying, give us this day our daily bread, you say to God, give me that part of the inheritance that belongs to me that I might spend it on myself and with my friends. Friend, you know what you're asking for. You're asking for famine. That prodigal son didn't know that that's what he was going to get. But when we live for the things of this world, apart from the God of this world, we're really asking for the curse. We're asking for the famine. We're asking for the misery that ultimately leads to. Oh, that this morning you would have that same thought the prodigal had. You know, in my Father's house, there's bread enough and to spare. I will go and I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thy face. Friend, why stand outside this gateway today with so much bread, with living bread in God, in Jesus Christ for each and every day? You know, he can give you much more than 10 years of bread in the bank. He can give you everything that you need today for the joys and the trials and for tomorrow and forever, however long life lasts. And he does it as he speaks this morning to us from Calvary. And he says, I am the gateway to a better life. I am the bread of life. Amen. Let's pray together.